From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather, 70% chance of showers, thunderstorms possible after 2. Might see gusty winds, gusts as high as above 35 miles an hour possible, high of 64 this afternoon. 70% chance of showers, breezy tonight as well, lows about 46, and more stormy conditions throughout the weekend. We're at 62 degrees right now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another candidate interview today. Bridget Barton, Republican candidate for governor. As things sometimes go in political campaigns, you don't get out of the last event or location until later than you wanted to, and you find yourself somewhere between point A and B. So not in studio, but on the phone with us this afternoon. Bridget, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I think I'm about 5 minutes away, but I'm sorry I didn't get there. I'm very happy to be on the air talking about the campaign and everything going on.
Remind folks, first off, about your background and career.
So, well, first of all, I want to say I am a relentlessly optimistic outsider. And my career, I have 30 years of experience, but I am not a politician. I haven't held political office. My career has been as an advocate, a spokesperson, and a writer and publisher, talking about education issues and business issues and natural resource issues around the state. So lots and lots of experience over the years, sort of in the political background, but I have a solid network of people to rely on once I take over the governor's office. I can't wait to start making those new appointments.
So did you grow up in Oregon?
I did not. I have been here 43 years. I'm 69 years old. So my entire adult life here, raised my family here. My husband and I have been married 40 years on May 15th, actually. And I was born in Wisconsin, raised in Williamsburg, Virginia, the colonial capital, pre-revolutionary capital. So kind of an interesting freedom background. Went to the same university as Thomas Jefferson in Virginia. And so that's kind of a fun fact about me.
Talk about more about your sort of background involvement in political things in Oregon.
Well, you know, we started a business magazine, I mentioned, and we did that because so many of the big private companies and some of the small business owners as well saw that the media was really taking a hard left turn. And so we've been out there, as I said, a little bit behind the scenes, definitely not in political office, but we've been very strong supporters of conservative politicians, county offices, state offices, et cetera. And actually, in the last 5 years, I've been managing a multi-million dollar nonprofit that's been very supportive of strong economic growth, business growth, and finding new leadership for Oregon. Very proud of that work. We worked alongside Kevin Barton, one of the best district attorneys in the state, who was the first person challenged by a George Soros candidate. And we helped him kind of get that organized and win that race because we saw that he was going to provide leadership on justice in the state, and he has. But I have some big news to share today, because I'm sure you're aware of the unfortunate menstrual dignity act that Kate Brown has been pushing down us, making us put tampons in every boy's, little boy's bathroom, even in elementary school. So today, Kyle, I filed a legal challenge to those mandates at the Oregon Court of Appeals, because looking into that, they have stretched that bill to say that they can go to force the teachers in all these elementary schools, they're going to force the teachers to include transgender, non-binary, intersex, two-spirit, and indigenous queer lessons in all of the Oregon health and sex ed classes for these little kids to try to explain to them why they've got tampons in their bathrooms. Well, you know what? The bill did not say that. And so I am filing a challenge because we're a national embarrassment. And I'm running for governor, but we can't wait for November to stop this. this is like a woke book, but it's real. And we got to get them out of the bathrooms and back into the classrooms. So this is step one. We're gonna stop this in its tracks.
Now
we
this
can't proceed like.
And this was something that you are just in the process of filing today, or in the next few days.
Filing today. Yeah, filing today. We got to get it stopped because we've been hearing that these tampon machines are already being contracted to get put into the bathrooms. So we've got to put a stop to this. Now, what's happening, I think, Kyle, and I'm sure your listeners would probably agree, what's happening is that the radical left knows that they're going to get shellacked in November. And so what they're doing is pushing everything they possibly can as fast as they can through. And so we can't wait for November to step up and lead. And I have to point out, one of my opponents, former Representative Christine Drazen, she voted for this bill. And I don't hear her standing up to put a stop to it. So we have to have leadership now. We can't wait for November.
So what would your top priorities be if you're elected in November?
Elected in November, honestly, education is right at the top of the list because this is what's happening in our schools. We've lost our focus on academic excellence, and it's all about indoctrination. So that's number one. I'll appoint a new deputy superintendent. We'll have a new vision for the schools. But the second thing is the combined issues of crime, substance abuse, and homelessness. And that is very near and dear to my heart because I'm 40 years in recovery from alcoholism. So I know the substance abuse problem is at the root of these other two problems, homelessness and crime. We got to get a handle on it. I'll start with trying to repeal ballot measure 110 that legalized hard drugs. And I know that is wreaking havoc in your community. The substance abuse and the crime that's coming up through Jackson County, Josephine County, it's coming up into Douglas County. And like I said, the sheriffs are all agreed. We've got to get rid of ballot measure 110. And if we're going to solve our crime and homelessness problems, we've got to get to the root of it, which is substance abuse. So we do not have enough treatment options available by any means. We're number one in the country in substance abuse, number 50 in treatment beds per capita. That's going to change.
What about the state's financial condition? What would you do in terms of maybe pushing for some adjustment in priorities in state spending?
Well, I want to say first that my attention is going to be with the people. And so one of the first things I'm going to do is suspend the gas tax. And I won't reinstate the gas tax until we get below $3 a gallon because we're coming into a recession. That being said, you know, the state budget coffers are overflowing. The all funds budget is bigger than it's ever been, $112 billion plus. But on the ground, working families and small business owners, they're struggling. So I'm going to go to their issues first. And that is, as I said, suspend the gas tax. I will not pass a single new tax while I'm in office. In those 4 years for sure, and then no new regulations at all on any businesses. We've got to let businesses catch their breath, get back on their feet, and have some sense of stability. Now, I think you know, we're probably not in my first 2 years at least going to have majority Republicans in the House and Senate. So it's going to be hard for me to repeal taxes, but the first opportunity I get, and I hope it's the first 2 years, but if it's not, then definitely the second 2 years of my term, I would begin to look at repealing taxes. And the first one on the list is the corporate activities tax, what we call the CAT tax, and what is actually a sales tax that hurts all of us, hurts all consumers out there, all Oregonians.
Yeah, talk about the impacts you've been hearing about from that, from folks in the business community.
Oh, it's putting people out of business. I'm not sure if your listeners know exactly how it works, but rather than taxing people on their profits, it taxes them on their overall revenue that they've taken in. And many, many businesses have very high volume but very low margin profits. So imagine, for example, this happens. A good example is car dealers. The cars they sell, and they sell in volume, are very, very expensive. So their revenues might be just in, you know, multi-millions, but they take a small margin profit. So their CAT tax can be bigger than their profits. So it depends. It goes obviously business to business. But one of the places we've seen this, Kyle, and your listeners might have experienced it in person, is pharmacies. They also tend to be high volume revenue, very low margin, especially if they're a locally owned pharmacy that's trying to compete with the big box pharmacies, so to speak. These people are going out of business. Their taxes are higher than their profits. So they're paying the government to be in business. This is what's wrong with this model of a tax. And it was pushed through, by the left, who just plain don't care if Oregon businesses go under. And they don't care if in small communities there's only one pharmacy left and senior citizens are waiting hours in line to get their prescription drugs. I saw that in person in Medford at a Fred Meyer. I walked, there were about 50 senior citizens lined up for hours waiting to get their prescription drugs because the small mom-and-pop pharmacies have been put out of business by the CAT tax.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Bridget Barton, candidate for governor, with us. And News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Umpqua Valley Live. We'll be looking at arts, entertainment, and community happenings. Some live music this afternoon, this evening, to begin the program as well. On Monday's program, Republican candidate for governor Mark Thielman will be with us. And we have candidate for governor Bridget Barton right now on Inside Douglas County. Next question I wanted to ask, your thoughts about forest management and the role the governor could play in perhaps making some changes in that here in the state of Oregon.
Well, you know, the sad thing is we've got a wonderful university that has developed great forestry practices and we just don't use them. So we are capable of managing our forests and doing a very good job of providing sustainable forestry and providing our mills with all the wood they need and thinning the forests and keeping them so that we don't have these conflagrations every single summer. But the Democrat governors we've had for the last 40 years have gotten progressively more and more focused on climate change and in clamping down. So our forests are going up in flames. They blame it on climate change, but the problem is forestry practices. So what we need to make a very serious change in how we're managing our forests. We obviously, first and foremost, need to put out the fires, and that includes on federal forests. I, as governor, will put out the fires. Then, of course, we got to get in there and start cutting more wood, and we have to manage our state forests with a more aggressive approach to the cutting and thinning. We also have to do a lot better job of post-burn management of when the fires do burn the trees down. We can't just leave them laying there by the hundreds of thousands of acres on and on. And, you know, I know your listeners, everybody that's driven around the state has seen this. You drive past where these fires have been, and the private forests have all been the trees have been removed. They've been completely replanted. The private timber owners in the state have replanted literally millions of trees already from the fires. But you can see where the line is, where it's either a state forest or a federal forest, and the trees are still laying dead, burnt, no replanting going on. I mean, it's just minimal. So that has to be aggressively looked into. But starting with putting the fires out. You know, when we see a fire, put the fire out. The other thing I wanted to say about fire management that I think is important that will be different is that I don't believe in top-down government. I believe in local government up managing, and that includes our forests. So one of the things that I would do as governor is visit with each of the counties, starting with the most, fire-prone, the ones that have had the most problems, go into those counties and meet with the county leaders, the foresters, and say, what are we going to do to get a handle on this? Because we're not going to let it burn anymore. The strategy that Kate Brown has is get ready to run. She tells the county, the local people, you know, your strategy, pack your bags, get ready to run. Well, that's not going to be my strategy. I'm going to come into the counties, work with them, and the state will say, when a fire breaks out, what do you need? What can I do as governor to get this fire put out immediately? But I will turn to the resources on the ground in the counties, because we saw in those last fires, some of them actually got put out by regular citizens breaking out their tractors and their backhoes and going out and put the fires out themselves. I mean, that's what it came down to, because the state and the federals were doing nothing. They weren't doing nothing, but they weren't doing enough. And they didn't know quite what to do. Local always knows best. That will be my policy.
Let's talk about the race a bit more. There's 19 candidates for running from the Republican side. Recent polling shows many people are still undecided because there are so many choices. Yep. And even at the top end of the top tier of candidates, the percentage that folks are getting is rather small. A lot of people are kind of questioning just which way they should go.
Yeah, how do they decide? I get it. I can't imagine opening my voter's pamphlet at this point in time, a week away, and saying, 18 people. So I want to say and give a shout out to Reed Christensen, who was in the race, is in the voter's pamphlet, but very unfortunately had a stroke, suffered a stroke and had to drop out, a wonderful man. And so just a shout out to him, but to let your voters know he's in the voter's pamphlet, but he is not officially running anymore. But there's 18 of us. And you know what? Here's what voters have to do. They have to look through the candidates and say to themselves, which candidate, when they are elected governor, is actually going to stand firm on principle and actually get things done and stay focused on the problem? Well, I'm running as an outsider. I told you that. I have nothing to lose. I'm 69 years old. I'm not interested in a long-term political career. I'm going to stay laser focused on the problems that are on the ground that regular Oregonians and working people are having to deal with every day, because their career politicians have ignored them. The other question that then they have to answer is, of the candidates they think can do that, who can get elected in the general election? Who can actually win? Well, you know what? We can't have someone who's been poking the left in the eye this whole time. And I have not been doing that. I stand strong on principle, but I am someone who is going to attract people from across the aisle a bit, from those non-affiliated voters, those disaffected Democrats who want someone focused on those core kitchen table issues. They will vote Republican if they feel they can trust me to stay focused on the issues, and I will do that. So I feel like I am I think I'm the only candidate of the 18 who checks both of those boxes. I check them both. I'll stand firm. I'll get things done. I'm going to stay focused on problems, but I can win the general election. I bridge the urban-rural divide. I'm going to draw those suburban women that we need. We have to have them if we're going to win in the general election. But I've been an advocate for rural Oregon all this time, too. So I bridge that divide. I can bring this all together. We're going to need somebody that can hold the Republican base but still bring across those other voters. I can get the job done, and I hope people listening are going to come together, coalesce around me as their candidate, and we will win in November. So please, I ask for your vote, your support, and let's get going. Let's get this done. Let's turn this state red.
I'm curious about what you think the impact in November, when we are through the primary process, having an independent candidate in the race as well.
It's a really important scenario that's developing here. Again, really critical that we have a conservative candidate, someone like myself, smart, solid, strong, conservative to hold the base, but someone who's not, shall we say, confrontational and adversarial to those non-affiliated voters, because that in a traditional three-way race, the two Democrats are going to split the vote and it'll go to the Republican. if it's the other way around and there were two Republicans and one Democrat, the Democrat would win. But this is an absolutely perfect setup for a Republican to win the race because those two Democrats will have to split the vote. As a woman candidate, I've been saying it's hard for men to go after those two Democrat women, but I tell you what, I will go after them like a she-cat, and I'm going to take it to them, and I'm going to hold them accountable. Not on these sort of fringe political things. I'm going to hold them accountable for the absolute mess that they have both made of our state. They've been in office for decades. They have to be held accountable and held responsible, and I will do that.
20 seconds
and
left.
Having that third period. Yeah, the three-way race, it's a perfect setup. And on top of that, we've got a red wave coming. We've got the most unpopular governor and the most unpopular president. We're headed for a red wave. We have to choose the right candidate in the primary. Someone who can pull from both sides, but someone strong enough to hold the base together. And I am that rock-solid conservative that can do it.
Bridget Martin, Republican candidate for governor on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Bridget Barton for Oregon.com. Thanks.
1258 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.